Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. Today we're talking about Visa's plans for the adoption of EMV contact and contactless chip technology in the U.S. The company has a roadmap to encourage investments in the technology, which will hasten the adoption of mobile payments and improve international interoperability. Visa recently published a blog post and a set of recommended practices as a follow-up to last August's announcement regarding the company's infrastructure recommendation and authentication strategy. Visa's vision for the U.S. was that the country would embrace EMV contact chip technology at the point of sale and upgrade the infrastructure to be able to pass dynamic data. Stephanie Erickson, head of authentication product integration at Visa USA, says they have some key dates in place.
From October of this year, October of 2012, we are going to be giving an incentive to the merchants that do PCI DSS. We still require PCI DSS standard compliance, but those merchants who deploy contact chip and contactless chip technology at their points of sale would have some reduced requirements for validating their compliance to PCI DSS. So that's one of the first milestones we have of our announcement from last August. We'd like to see the U.S. infrastructure adopt dynamic data and begin to do that as soon as possible. The first incentive is from October of 2012.
Visa has another requirement for merchants to upgrade their systems to pass contact chip data or dynamic data from the acquirer system by April of 2013. Erickson says those two milestones work together to begin to get the U.S. infrastructure enabled to handle dynamic data and accept EMV contact chip, as well as future-proof the infrastructure for contactless chip, which lays the groundwork for mobile payments.
And then the final milestone we have is October of 2015, a liability shift in the United States, whereby the merchants that had not yet deployed contact chip technology at the point of sale may take on some additional liability for counterfeit transactions if chip could have prevented that counterfeit. So all of this sets the stage for the announcements that we just had this month of our recommended practices and what we posted on our blog. It's not so much this is new, but we wanted to clarify the direction and provide a little bit more detail as to how we see the U.S. adopting chip technology. The chip technology that we're advocating for the U.S. is the same EMV technology that is available elsewhere in the world, but we are advocating a much more simplified approach, which is to use EMV contact chip instead of deploying all of the complexity that EMV offers, because there's a lot of options in EMV. We've simplified that to work in an online environment, which is optimized more for the way the U.S. authorization network is deployed, to only require online authentication. It's just as secure as offline authentication for EMV, and then also to have the options of online PIN or signature or no signature required, depending on what merchant type the cardholder is transacting at.
Some of Visa's U.S. issuers are already distributing cards that have EMV contact chip on them. The cards still have a magstripe, since magstripe technology is still the global baseline for acceptance.
But issuers will be adding contact chip, and also many issuers will be adding contactless chip to their cards. We call those dual interface cards, meaning that the chip can do EMV contact chip or contactless. And what that will mean is as the infrastructure begins to be built out in the United States, and as these cards become more widely issued, cardholders who have a chip-enabled card will be able to go to a chip-enabled merchant, and depending on the type of terminal the merchant has deployed, the cardholder will be able to either do an EMV contact chip transaction or a contactless, what we call Visa PayWave transaction with their card. Or if the merchant does not have contact or contactless chip, they can still swipe their card and do a magstripe transaction. If the cardholder has a chip card and they try to swipe it at a terminal that is a chip-enabled terminal, then the terminal might prompt them to insert it as a chip transaction because it would be prompting them to go to the more secure route. But that's the main difference that cardholders would really see in how they're conducting their everyday transactions.
This approach is not unique to the U.S. Erickson says it's kind of a misconception that the rest of the world is chip and PIN and using offline functions.
It's a bit of a myth that chip means chip and pin, and that's one thing that we're trying to clarify is there are many countries around the world that have adopted EMV chip technology, but it's not chip and pin. In some cases, EMV chip has been partnered with offline pin. That's because the offline authentication that's being used by the chip is also being coupled with a pin to be able to secure that transaction more for an offline environment. Because we have an online environment here in the U.S., and there are many countries around the world that also have that as well, there's not the need to manage offline PIN and manage being able to change the PIN in the card at the ATM and some of the complexity that goes with supporting offline PIN from a cost and complexity point of view. So EMV chip is not always necessarily EMV chip and PIN. There are many countries around the world that use EMV chip that do not have chip and offline PIN.
And that's the exact same practice Visa plans to deploy in the United States. Erickson says the U.S. gets to learn from the way chip has been deployed around the world. Other countries deployed EMV contact chip technology to work in an offline environment for terminals that might not have online connectivity. Their telecommunications infrastructure may have been expensive or unreliable.
So the issuers needed to personalize their cards with a lot of different options that are available in EMV to manage transaction authentication and authorization offline. For the United States, we don't need that because we have a zero floor limit and 100% of all of our transactions do come online. So we don't need to have the issuers issue these cards that support all of these more complex offline features. It also makes the cards a lot less expensive for the issuers to purchase from the vendors that support the cards. The offline capabilities that EMV enables, it's great because it provides a lot of options, but it also provides a lot more complexity. So for the U.S., we're trying to simplify the implementation and not bog the issuers down with all the added expense and complexity that the offline options introduce. For example, some of the offline authentication features that are available in EMV also require the issuers to generate public keys and keys that need to be put into each card. If you do an online authentication method or always online, the issuers don't need to do that. They don't need to get certificates and issue cards with keys in them. The card's just going to send the transaction data online to the issuer to authenticate real time, not needing to manage all of the offline complexity. So it's faster for the issuer to issue, it's much cheaper for them to purchase the cards, and there's far fewer host systems changes they need to make to their systems in order to be able to manage all of that. So we're still going to get all the same security where EMV has been deployed around the world with the dynamic authentication, but we will just be receiving it in the online message instead of managing it for an offline infrastructure.
As this infrastructure builds out, more and more cardholders will eventually have access to mobile phone payment technology, where they'll be able to use their mobile phones to do a contactless payment at these same terminals. There's been speculation that this is a move toward doing away with cards altogether in favor of mobile payments. But Erickson thinks it will be a very long time before cards can be eliminated. She doesn't see every merchant that transacts around the world being enabled to do mobile payments 100% of the time in the near future.
People have been doing pilots on mobile phones since the early 2000s for over 10 years. And I think mobile technology is going to be very promising, and mobile payments is going to be a very promising way to pay in the future, provide a lot more options, a lot more opportunities for other applications, some enhanced security as well. But the cost of updating the infrastructure to accept all mobile payments at every possible merchant point of sale and getting rid of cards for traveling globally into every country and every type of merchant, I think for many, many years, we're going to need to have both. We'll have mobile phones that might give us some added functionality, but we're going to continue to have cards. And that's why we're trying to make sure that we're doing our best to secure the infrastructure and adopt dynamic data on the cards as well as when we move to mobile phones.
Erickson says mobile phones will enable us to do a lot more things we haven't imagined, but the interoperability standard is going to be a card-based payment for many years. After all, the cards work well, they're easy to transport, and they don't need to be plugged in. Ericsson says Visa will continue moving toward a contact chip that provides security without the level of complexity seen in other parts of the world. They'll try to do it faster and a little cheaper while still leveraging the same benefits. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.